Hello and welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. It's Gareth McGlynn here, your host with all the pre-construction crack. Now, today's guest is the Director of Pre-Construction at GH Phipps in Colorado. It's none other than Alex Gregory. Now, some of you might know Alex, or some of you might not. He is actually presenting at Advancing Pre-Construction this year in Phoenix. His topic, and we go through it in detail on this podcast as well, it's one close to my heart. He is going to be talking about recruiting qualified individuals to build a diverse pre-construction team. So we dig deep into that. What else can you expect on the podcast? He is a big advocate for lean project delivery, so lean construction. He has been a member of the Lean Construction Institute for 10 years. So he's done a lot of work locally and nationally. And then we dig deep into pre-construction technology. He has been fortunate enough to be part of Limbeck, a company in Texas. They're a very, very technologically advanced construction company, and he did some of his first 10 years with Limbeck. So he learned a lot there, and he's done almost 10 years now combined with GH Phipps. So a great episode. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey folks, just a quick reminder about Advancing Pre-Construction 2023. It's happening in Phoenix, Arizona. It's happening on May 24th to May 26th. Now, if you're interested in going, it's the biggest and largest gathering of pre-con and estimating professionals. I'll be there, and a lot of my guests will be there as well. If you're thinking about going, get over to the website, simply Google Advancing Pre-Construction. During the checkout, simply put in podcast 10 to get a 10% discount. There's also early registration discounts as well.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Alex Gregory, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Good man. This is take two. We had some technical issues. Zoom decided to cut me off for 2 days. They locked me out of my account, which was very nice of them, but we're back up and running.
There we go.
Cool. So Alex Gregory, anybody doesn't know you, I'll do a quick intro and then you can tell me a little bit about your background. Director of Pre-Construction at GA Phipps in Colorado. Started back in Texas, but you actually did your degree in Georgia, Southern University. Take us all the way back there. How was that?
So plan back then was to work for my uncle, who had a small residential and light commercial company in Savannah. So out to Georgia Southern I went with a couple of scholarships, and then 2007 hit and his company went away and I went back to Texas.
That was a rough introduction to construction, let me tell you.
Here's how it works.
And of course, the whole way through your college, we're saying, yeah, there's loads of jobs. We'll get you a job right away. Don't worry. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Best placement in the school. Best placement. Yeah.
Well, it's like starting a business. The best time to start a business is during a recession. So the best time to start in construction was during a GFC.
Yeah, there you go.
Brilliant. So obviously it didn't get off to the best of starts. What was going through your head at that stage? I mean, it was pretty evident, obviously, with family, you were always thinking about construction. What was going through your head and how did you think you were going to tackle it?
At that point, so I think we had figured out at that point, some family member at that point had been in the construction industry for over 100 years. So a nice long line. So it's not like I apparently was going to go anywhere else.
No.
So back in Texas, there was still the Barnett Shale, some natural gas drilling, some money. So went back there, moved back home to actually El Paso for a little bit, and just kind of knew that I would end up in commercial construction at that point. And had a friend that got a job with Lindbeck in South Carolina, and he referred me over to their Fort Worth office and went and interviewed for about 4 hours, had no idea what was going on, and ended up with a job.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I mean, listen, when you think about Lindbeck, for anybody who doesn't know them, they're highly technologically advanced. They're really concentrated on technology, good CM at risk builder. You stayed there for almost 10 years, so something must have went well. Tell us about that early stages at Lindbeck when you were in as an engineer. Obviously, you've got a good understanding of construction, and probably like everyone back in the early 2000s, even the 1990s, it was all about operations. It was all about on what was happening in delivery. When during your time at Lindbeck did you think as an engineer, I tend to like this pre-construction side a little bit better?
Yeah, so I will never forget my first day was a Monday, and on Friday I still hadn't heard anything from him. So I called up the guy that had been my contact and said, "Hey, where do I show up on Monday?" And it was, "Oh, forgot to plan for this. Pre-construction, we need a lot of help there." So I actually spent, I think it was my first 9 months solely in pre-construction. And then I got a very interesting experience. I spent the next 4 years at Cook Children's Medical Center, helped on a lot of the larger jobs, both on pre-construction and as a project engineer, but then kind of ran the capital project program, which was taking every single renovation project there from first budget, conceptual budget, all the way to close out in O&Ms. So I got to see the entire spectrum for a really long time and kind of bounced in and out of pre-con during that. And then went to TCU to work on a couple of projects out there just purely as a project engineer. And that was my moment of, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm gonna go back over there. That's where I want to be.
Brilliant. And tell you what an introduction to construction that is, the Children's Hospital. I mean, some
Yes.
great that I mean, that's ideal. A lot of people start in residential or the smaller projects, but you were literally thrown into the deep end. But again, it probably comes back to the very early stage when that those 9 months within pre-con probably were important and were good, considering you did
Absolutely.
a few life cycle projects. What did you learn most about the Children's Hospital?
Man, everything. So especially for that facility, you are truly embedded there and part of them. You are planning circuit shutdowns months in advance. It's you learn everything. Every little piece you can imagine is planned out in almost painful detail. So those 4 years taught me pretty much what I could expect in any situation inside of an existing facility.
Brilliant. And there's something different about building in a live environment as well. I think
Absolutely.
that just, I mean, obviously what you've got your mission critical, which is it's a children's hospital especially. It's so important to everyone, but a live environment is definitely a lot different. You have to be more conscious of what's going on around you.
Yes, very much. And yeah, just seeing owning the entire process versus just also being on the back end as just a PE, that was part of definitely what pushed me into full-time pre-construction of I can actually affect the path of a project in the drawings as opposed to I have received the drawings and now just go do what I said.
Yeah, that's it. That's brilliant. And then that was probably, we talked before, that was probably your first introduction to lean construction with Lindbeck. Obviously, having been your first company, you've kind of got nothing to compare it with. But what was the thinking behind that? Why did Lindbeck put such an emphasis on lean construction?
For the value. I mean, it drives value into everything you do every day. It makes every process better. It makes every daily interaction between people better. Yeah, it's hard to put into words. It just makes things flow correctly, right? You're worried about like your project workflow. You're not worried about your resource flow. So you're not trying to load up every project manager. You're trying to do what's best for the project itself. Yeah, it just it blows my mind that people can't see the value of just the regular interactions and every piece that goes with it, to the point that we're trying to push it very hard here at GH Phipps now as well.
Good, good. And for anybody that doesn't understand it, and I have to say, speaking with a lot of the companies that I work with, small, medium, and large, there's some people that they know about Lean, but they don't understand the value. Give us a scenario of how it's helped you over the last 15 years and why you implement, why you're trying to implement it at GH Phipps.
Yeah. I mean, even a very easy example from, I think this was late 19, early 2020. It was just pre-pandemic. Working with Children's Hospital of Colorado, who's one of our big clients here, we were challenged with a TI project. They had a shell space. I want to say it was 20,000 square feet, roughly, their main campus. Needed to get it built out ASAP with some progressive cardiac unit beds, and didn't really kind of have a plan. They had a test fit, so they knew where rooms would go, where they'd be kind of spatially, that sort of thing, and said, put a budget to it. And I said, okay, there's a handful of like variables here we kind of need to get in control or know what you think. And do you want it? Anschutz finishes, if you ever Google Children's Hospital of Colorado, Anschutz, it is a mecca. It is the most gorgeous building I have ever seen in my life, hands down. We actually built the one out there currently, and we're part of that. And it is an epically gorgeous building. And you walk into the lobby and it is amazing. So you can imagine the level of finishes that go in the units typically reflects that.
Very good. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the next question obviously was, what's your budget? Yeah. We don't know. Okay. So you want me to base it on Anschutz?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing when a client says that?
Always bad. So having the budget gives us a point to aim at, right? Like something we can try to work with. So without that, it was go to town, price it like it looks like every other unit at Anschutz and see what happens. And we were over 12 million and the owner completely freaked out, went silent for a couple of days, didn't know what to do. Finally heard back from them and said, well, our budget is actually about 9 million. Okay, I can work with this. Like, can I have some freedom to change up some of the finishes, the way some of the rooms are lined out, things like that? They said, go for it. And so essentially sat there with Trainer HL, who we were technically a design build agreement, but essentially operated as an IPD light project. And went through everything. We ended up relocating some of the isolation rooms, so they were closer to the main exhaust trunk, different finishes, the way we lined out nurses stations so we could do one less, but still be able to have the required views of all the rooms, all that kind of stuff. And within 3 days of spitballing and figuring some stuff out, we figured out how to get them to, I think it was like 8¾. In the end, they got everything they wanted. We only ended up giving back, I think, like 15 or 20,000 on something like that at the end of the day. And that included us in the end speeding up and cutting a month off the schedule because it went into COVID and they just desperately needed the beds.
Brilliant. And you put that down to lean principles. I mean, 3 days to be able to thrash that out, the estimate, the schedule, the plan, that's impressive.
Redo the drawings essentially at that point, like reset up the whole unit.
Yeah, move things around, move rooms around. And that was that the kind of the penny dropping for GH Phipps of, you know what, we have to start taking this seriously. We have to start.
So Phipps has been on a journey for quite a while, and it's been sort of concentrated in certain circles. So Children's actually is a perfect example. I want to say the replacement was built 20 or 25 years ago, the main campus job. And that was the first tri-party agreement in Colorado. So Phipps was part of that. They JV'd with McCarthy on that project. And then same on the East Tower, another addition, another tri-party agreement. They've kind of been on the edge, but trying to get the whole company transformed now, right? All the way from the senior project manager that's seen all that stuff, who's now running our Wyoming office, to the brand new project accountant that was just hired.
Brilliant. Love it. Because you would see that. I mean, people might not know, but you're coming up 9.5 years now with the Lean Construction Institute. You obviously started locally, but you were involved in the nationally as well. What's the feedback do you get from the institute, from companies? Are you seeing more and more adaptation, or is there still pushback?
Yeah, so there is more and more adaptation. There's more adoption going on. But it's still kind of in select areas, right? So like high innovation technology, biopharmaceutical, healthcare, certain other owners are starting to kind of get the drift on it. So it is expanding a little bit, but it's very much still concentrated in those environments.
Brilliant, brilliant. And if there's a mid-sized GC here now thinking about Lean, where's the best place? Do they get in touch with their local?
That's the easiest way to get started. Yeah, the local community of practice. So if you go to LCI's website, they've got a map of where every community of practice is located. So it's good to go there. Local groups will put on presentations, education seminars, things like that. So it's easy to just go get some nice introductory ideas and thoughts and see where to go.
Brilliant. And then what about yourself now? What's your place within the Institute? What are you doing on a day-to-day basis, or are you still involved?
Yeah, so my involvement now is just local. So part of the LCI Colorado core group. So we kind of manage the education and events and everything for the Denver, Colorado area, although we expand up to Fort Collins and down to the Springs. So it's about an hour and a half each way.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of support both locally and nationally. Alex, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. So at least in Colorado, it is very much a healthcare driven thing. So of the major systems that are here, like Intermountain SEL Health is a big believer. Children's Hospital Colorado is the biggest believer. They're still the only one that have actually signed a true multi-party agreement here in Colorado. UC Health kind of is. They push towards that. So yeah, there's some big health systems here that really kind of encourage that growth. And now the biopharmaceutical industry and the industrial projects, those are starting to take off. So that's getting more grip here in the market.
Brilliant. And you know what I'll do as well? In the show notes, I'll put the LCA website. So if anybody's looking for it, just click on the link below. Cool. So obviously then left Limbach, went to GH Phipps, and now you're director of pre-construction. Tell me about the responsibilities of a director of pre-construction. what's the headaches on a daily basis?
Oh man. No, it's coming in to put out fires to start your day and then plan out the work to try to get around fires from occurring later. We have a team.
Fireman with a construction hat on.
Yes, because I believe right now we're at a team of 20 total between all of our estimators here in Denver. We have another one at our office in Wyoming. We have two in Fort Collins and two in Colorado Springs. And then myself as director, we have a chief estimator and then one admin assistant. Brilliant. So there's a lot happening any given day. And between yesterday and April 26th, we have another 20 deliverables going out the door. So
wow,
it is a lot of stuff going on.
That's intense. I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, how do you delegate that now as director? Is there a specific, because listen, every pre-construction team is built differently. Are you talking about handing a project to a section of your estimators, or do you spread a project across the whole team? What way do you divvy that up?
Yeah, so it would essentially live with one individual for responsibility. And then be divvied up from there for the most part. So the way that we're kind of operating at the moment is our pre-construction and senior pre-construction managers are essentially the points of responsibility for us. And they will at times only have themselves to work on a job depending on the scale and the size complexity. But then other people will be assigned to it to assist them and kind of get through the process with everything. So I think like right now I'm looking outside because I can see them in the pen. So like Jim Myers, one of our top pre-construction managers, He's responsible for two large projects right now, and he has three people assigned to work with him to get those across. Mark Hawk has another two large jobs right now, and he has two people with him to get those across. So that's kind of how we try to divvy it up, but still have that final responsibility in the end.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And that kind of leads me on nicely, because you're presenting at Advanced Pre-Construction this year in Phoenix at the end of May, which I'm going to and I can't wait to attend. What your topic is, recruiting qualified individuals to build a diverse pre-con team. Now, without giving too much away, what are we looking forward to during this talk, and what's the secret?
Oh, man. If I had the perfect secret, it wouldn't need to be a talk. I would say, more than anything, the secret that I have found, the only people that I have hired since I've had this job have been people that are purely a reference that others have worked with that know, that we know can fit into our system, right? So it's the personality more than anything. All of the experienced hires, they can do estimating. They can do, to a degree, pre-construction activities. Minimum, they can do estimating. We know that. It's more about finding the right personality fit and where you can see them growing and how you can see them fitting. We have always stayed away from the hire a warm body, because you're going to get warm body results.
Yeah.
And so I would rather take more work on myself and just sort of stay buried and living in my office than hire a warm body and get poor results. So I think we've made now five kind of key hires over the last 9 months or so. And every single one of them was some form of reference, whether it was from one of our top subcontractors or another member of the pre-con team that had worked with them before. One was a senior PM and a marketing person, had worked with another senior estimator somewhere else and loved him, so we brought him over. That's been our key to success in finding the people that fit.
I love that. And I love the marketing referral. So that gives you an idea that that's personality. All they're looking at, that marketing person might have a little bit of construction background, might understand construction and estimating, but all she or he has referred is, this is a good person. He does the right things. His morals and ethics are good. And I like to work with him. Because if you like working with someone, generally you're able to thrash it out, you know.
Exactly.
Especially when you have a big team of 20, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. We can't really afford to have any cancers running around with as many projects and deliverables. And I would much rather just be a little bit too busy for a while until I find the right fit.
Yeah. And that's the beauty, because we deal with clients the same way. They don't wait until there's an opportunity, whether it be a growth opportunity or someone's retired. They actually are always hiring. So they always say to us, listen, just bring us the best people when you come across them. Mm-hmm. We mightn't send them anyone for 4 months, but when that person comes available, then they're in a position to hire. And you can never have too many good people.
Agreed. And then that's kind of a similar philosophy that we're even running with right now. We've kind of just slowed down on the hiring side just for our projections. We feel like we're in a good spot, but the openings are still there. If you find the right kind of A+ person that just comes across the table, it's always worth a conversation.
Yeah. But that's, you mentioned there about the referral thing, the reference, it's really important then that person wants to come and work for the brand. And obviously GH Phipps have done really well throughout the years with the brand. How important is that? And how do they protect that? Not just from a pre-construction standpoint, but an overall company.
So globally for GH Phipps, the brand is everything. So that was Gerald H. Phipps, who created the company 70 years ago. He's been a huge part of Colorado history. Father was a U.S. senator. He was involved in everything, helped set up Winter Park Resort that is one of the main skiing destinations now.
Nice.
Used to own the Denver Broncos, and he only bought them because all he wanted in Denver was professional baseball. And he knew he wouldn't have it if he couldn't keep the Broncos around.
Right.
But he created Phipps. This is our 70th anniversary, in order to basically build for the community that we are all a part of. Right. So that comes across in our focus markets, higher ed, healthcare, K-12. Right. We build in the communities we live in. So our brand is everything. And when he decided to retire in the early 90s instead of selling the company. Essentially, he said that he wanted to give his employees some of the wealth that they had given him by working so hard. So he gifted the company to all the employees as an ESOP. So we are 100% employee owned. Everybody's share is worth the same as everybody else's share. Everything about the Phipps brand is essentially sacred to all of us. So it comes across in everything from like every pre-construction deliverable looks like this. You know what to expect. This is what we've done. This is what's included in our book. We will go above and beyond, all the way to the construction experience. That is, it will be seamless. The PM and super will have been involved prior so that there's no like handoff. It's just a transition. Everything flows smooth. We're to plan. We're open. We're upfront. We communicate constantly. It's everything we do is in order to protect the legacy that has been left to us.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And not only that for attracting people and retaining people, but obviously for your clients as well, that obviously shines through. I mean, that story in itself, and especially locally, is important.
Agreed. And that's especially as more and more people move into the Denver market, more and more national brands try to move in, you lose a lot of the local touch. And we're one of the few that can still compete on the larger stuff with the larger companies, but truly are local.
Yeah. And I see it all the time. I see all the big boys trying to shuffle in all these boom towns, Nashville, Austin, Charlotte, Tampa. It's not as easy. It's not as easy as they think. They can't just turn up out of Chicago, out of New York and flex their muscle and do it. And I think that's testament to the local companies as well. And also the local developers and the local institutions, because if you're doing such a great job, if it's not broke, why fix it, you know?
Yeah. Agreed completely.
Yeah, cool. Right, that comes to me next.
Stay out of Denver.
Oh, I love it. Just not for sale, sign up. Cool. So no, that brings me to the next one now. I mean, obviously, this podcast is all about technology and talent. It's pretty evident that you're doing a good job with the brand, attracting the talent. Let's talk technology now. Obviously, coming from Limbeck, which was a technologically focused company with GH Phipps, what's your tech stack like? What excites you about technology right now? Where are you at with it?
So we've, over the last few years, have taken a lot of big leaps for us. So starting with the acquisition of MBBIM. So they're now a wholly owned subsidiary, and they essentially handle all of our VDC needs. It's a team of, I think, 8 or 10. And it's so far beyond just like MEP clash detection. They work for design firms doing model QA, QC, trying to find early on issues at SD instead of finding a bust in the garage heights at CDs. That is one of the greatest services I've ever seen. It's helped me so much. It's not even funny. But everything to webcams, 360 photos, how they use glue in BIM 360, all kinds of stuff like that. So they've brought a significant jump to us in probably, I guess that was 5 years ago. We had always worked with them. We were their top client, and then we just ended up purchasing them. But then they also have the advantage of they work directly for other general contractors in the market. And so they get a feel for what the rest of the industry is doing, where else we can take a jump up, all that kind of stuff. So they really help keep us on the leading edge.
That's smart. That was a great acquisition. Did you have anything to
do absolutely.
With that acquisition?
I wish.
That was done before you
It came. Just meant the phone call to Dan McCloskey, who runs the group, is a lot faster now.
Very good. You get priority now, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And now the last year, we've taken on our entire ERP system as looking at our overall internal technology stack. What do we want to do? We're currently with CMIC. How do we want to, do we adjust? Do we go to their new product? Do we find another one? How does that affect accounting? How does that affect pre-con? What are we looking at for software now? So we've gone through our effort of trying to narrow down where we'd want to go with it and how it fits in with everything else right now. So we're in an interesting moment.
It's a so hard, isn't it, Alex? I mean, I get calls every week asking me about, right, what's the next technology, what we should be looking at. They're all single point solutions that need to tie into each other. I think it's going to be very difficult to get an overarching one fits all, because we all, every contractor, small, medium, and large, different industries, different complexities, it's very difficult to get a platform that's going to fit everyone. And that's the problem. And having too many point solutions can be even a problem in itself. Again, these guys will probably advise you, the MBBIM, have they given you kind of any sort of indication of what they're seeing coming through or what they like using from a BIM?
Yeah, so they kind of operate on their own in terms of their ERP system, but they can see, again, what other general contractors are doing and what they're using to collaborate with them. So Procore, for example, is how they work with the majority of their general contractors. And so they have the experience on their side of how that compares to working internally with us on a project versus that general contractor and sending information through Procore and all that sort of stuff. So what they give us more than anything is that really great third-party perspective of kind of here's where things are going, here's what makes more sense, here's what's most efficient.
Brilliant.
In terms of how operations and pre-construction work with their software, they don't have as much experience with that. So it's really kind of on us individually to go out to the industry and see what's going on.
Good. And as you say, it's an exciting time for me. You know, we had Wyatt Jenkins, the chief product officer on Procore on the podcast last week. We released that. Nice. And he's excited over the next 2-3 years. I mean, he's been brought on basically to focus on pre-con and estimating.
Nice.
I know they acquired someone in 2021. The name slips me mind, but it just hasn't worked out. And I think they're going to make a big push, whether it be a proprietary product that they make or another acquisition. So it'll be interesting to see that. And again, there's so many coming out of, you've got Join, you've got Concentric, you've got Beck. I mean, it's exciting. And someone will hit the
ground. Yeah, exactly. There are so many options out there. It's taken us a long time to kind of weed through and narrow down.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Alex, this has been brilliant. I mean, we're delighted to hear how well you're going at GH Phelps, and I can't wait to see you on the Advancing Pre-Construction. Just to let anybody know, anybody's going to the conference, Alex is on Thursday, 1:45 p.m. Is that right? Local time?
Yes, sir.
Love it. I will be there 25th of May. Cannot wait, and we'll definitely have a beer afterwards, Alex.
Absolutely done.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Alex, and we are massively looking forward to his appearance and presentation in Advancing Pre-Construction Conference. He's actually on stage at 1:45 local time on Thursday, May 25th. So if you're at the conference, get over, give him some support. Again, his topic is recruiting qualified individuals to build a diverse pre-construction team. And as he discussed there, He's now built a team. Well, he's only hired about five in the last 9 months, but they're almost up to 20. So some great insights into that. As always, and as I explained, I will put the LCI URL in the show notes as well. And I'll also put Alex Gregory's LinkedIn profile. And if you've got any follow-up questions. Again, folks, thank you for listening. Love the support.